What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Torture Rack. I am your host, the phenomenal Monster T-Rack. In this episode, I will be discussing three movies. The Last Airbender, Prince of Persia, Sand of the Times, and the newest Final Destination movie. And for comic review, I will be discussing All-Star Western number 1 from the new DC Universe. And that could possibly be my last review of comics on here. I haven't decided. I've been thinking about it. Maybe write a review on the website, thetorturerack.com, you know, or continue on here. I haven't really decided what I'm going to do yet. So, anyways, let's get to the movie reviews. I'm going to discuss The Last Airbender. It's a M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong, whatever, directed this movie. It's based on off the Avatar TV show that was on Nickelodeon, the cartoon. It stars Noah Ringer, who also played in Cowboys and Aliens with Harrison Ford and Daniel Craig, and also starred Diva Patel. He was in Slumdog Millionaire, but Noah Ringer played Aang, the Last Airbender, of course. And the other dude played the prince, the evil, like, prince who, I guess, you know, becomes their, they become buddies towards the end of the movie or something, or in the cartoon they are, not in the movie, but the movie isn't that bad of a movie, you know. I'm not a big fan of little kids movies, but from martial art movies, because it is a martial art movie, it is a martial art myth that they did with the five elements: earth, fire, water, and wind. Or, I don't know if wind's in there, but anyway, earth, fire, and water. Not five elements, but the elements of the earth, the world. I guess you could say the earth, in, you know, that type of stuff. And now I'm tripping over my own tongue, but anyway, so. But the movie is pretty good movie. You know, it's, like I said, it's not the greatest movie of all time. You know, it's not the worst movie of all time. You know, M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong, as I'm gonna call him, because I cannot pronounce his name, has done pretty good movies over the time. You know, no movie that he's ever did will ever outdo The Sixth Sense or, Unbreakable, but he's done some pretty good ones. This movie, I wasn't really expecting a whole hell of a lot because I really don't watch the cartoon. And I've heard the cartoon is a whole much better than the movie. A lot of diehard fans of the cartoon were very disappointed with the movie. You know, and in the movie, they left it open for sequels, but I don't think there'll be sequels because the movie got pretty shitty reviews from other critics and things of that nature. So for this critic, I don't plan on seeing it again. Don't plan on, if the sequel comes out, I'll probably watch it just because I'm like that. You know, but overall, the movie wasn't that bad of a movie. There's very few cool scenes in it, but one of the cool scenes is with that Diva Patel, whatever his name is. Where Aang, the main character, the Last Airbender, Avatar, whatever you want to call him, is captured by a traitor, and he goes in there and beats the crap out of all these guys and saves them. And he's a talented martial artist. They're both talented martial artists, actually. But you know what I mean by Aang? He is incarnated by this dude who is this last savior, basically, of these people. So, and over time, each people have known to balance, you know, control different parts. You know, there's the people that control fire, which this character, Devon Patra's character, controls fire. One controls water. One controls earth, and one controls I think wind or something. But anyway, there's like three books. I think those might be the three elements that they control. And the last Avatar, or the last Airbender, the Avatar, they call him, can control all of them at once. He doesn't only just control water or fire or air or earth or whatever. He controls all of them. And that's what his character is. And so there's some cool special effects. And I will give M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong that. There's a lot of cool special effects. The kid that played Aang, that Noah Ringer, looked just like the kid from the cartoon, which is pretty scary. Acting-wise, he didn't do a bad job. You know, he wasn't totally crap, but he wasn't a Tommy Lee Jones type of actor. overall, I give the movie, you know, a 5 out of 5. Not a bad movie, not a great movie, not a horrible movie. It was just an average, everyday movie. Your kids will like it, I can guarantee that. Little kids who like the cartoon will probably like this movie a lot. But not me, I didn't. It was okay movie. Let's get on to The Prince of Persia, Sands of Time. It's based off the video game of the same name. Well, Sands of Time, I don't think is the name of the video game. But anyway, Prince of Persia. It was directed by Mike Noel, produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, who played... He's been in, like, Jarhead, he was in Source Code and that. And then, I'm going to probably butcher this lady's name, but her name's Germa. It's G-E-M-M-A Artonian, or whatever. She was in Clash of Titans. She played the prince. Also in the movie was Sir Ben Kingsley and Alfred Montoya, who played Dr. Octopus in Spider-Man. And has been in various other movies. Sands of Time, you know, it's a story is about Jake Gyllenhaal's character who becomes he is like this master thief or whatever, you know, and he's just a kid back in Europe, or not Europe, or, you know, medieval, it's not even medieval times, I don't even know where to. You know, back when, like, in a... seriously, I don't even know what time this movie is set in, really. It's like, I guess, you know, like, they have camels, they have sheiks, in Egypt, back in the, you know, the seven, you know, when Egyptian gods were, you know, they still had kings, and, you know, King Tut was maybe around then, you know, that's probably the time it was set, but, has to do with this knife that has the sands of time in it, as the movie title implies, and whoever owns a knife can control time. Basically, through the movie, the guy who takes in Jake Gyllenhaal's character gets killed by his own brother, who's played by Ben Kingsley. And so, sorry about that. That was my phone. Just forgot to mute the son of a bitch. But anyway, sorry. He gets killed and pretty much is blamed by Jake Gyllenhaal's character, who's actually adopted. He is a street beggar, a thief, or whatever, when he's a kid, adopted by the family who doesn't have any. He also has three brothers who grew up, and, you know, so the brothers blame him for killing their father, you know, and pretty much, he's out to prove to the world that Ben Kingsley's character is the one that killed his uncle, his father, who is actually Ben Kingsley's brother, is the one that killed his father, who is actually the prince or the king, or whatever you want to call it, the king, I guess, because Jake's character is a prince. But, sorry about that. And, you know, so that he actually, Ben Kingsley sends these secret, like, a society of killers out there, which are pretty cool. These guys are dressing all in black robes and stuff. People have done, I'm going to make this one thing clear real quick. I love secret societies and guys who are badass martial artists that can go and destroy the people, and then the hero kills them. But anyway, I like that type of stuff, so... That part of the movie is great. Every time those guys are on scene, I was like, damn, those guys are badasses. But Jake Gyllenhaal actually did a pretty good job on fighting. He wasn't like, you know, Bruce Lee or anything, but he did a good job. He did a pretty good job in this movie. I like Jake Gyllenhaal. You know, he has done movies that I liked. Brokeback Mountain? No, I thought that was a gay movie, actually. I didn't like Brokeback Mountain, but... Other than that, Jake Gyllenhaal does a great job in 99.9% of his movies. So, you know, this movie, same as Last Avatar, you know, 5 out of 10 stars, you know. Okay, movie, would I watch it again? No. You know, would I go buy it? No. You know, if it was on TV, would I watch it? Maybe, because it is sort of entertaining, you know. But there's nothing in the movie that says, wow, what a great movie. Yes, Jerry Bruckheimer did produce it, but, you know, just because Jerry Bruckheimer produced paint drying on the wall, I wouldn't think it was the greatest movie of all time. You know, it was an okay movie. Let's get into the last movie review here for Final Destination 5, which I love the Final Destination movies. Number 1 is probably the best one of all, you know. And this movie is pretty much the same. I don't know. To me, I looked up online before I started the podcast about actors in it and trying to get them who say, hey, this guy was in this movie, this guy was in that movie. But a lot of these guys, I had no idea who in the hell they were. You know, all the shows they were in, I mean, there are movies and TV shows I knew. I just, they're like, oh, well, okay, he was in that. Don't know who in the hell he was. The guy who played the main detective in this movie, the only thing I realized, that he's, however he is, he's married to Angelica Benning, or however I pronounce her name, anyway, sorry. But other than that, I don't know any of these guys, any of these people, actors, directors, anything. The movie was actually not a bad movie. It wasn't a great movie. You know, another 5 out of 10 stars, you know. The only good thing about this whole movie was the first actual death scenes. In this movie, these kids, these people go on this road trip with their work that, then they work at like some plant company or something anyways, and the main kid has this premonition of them all dying on this bridge collapsing, and he does, and so he basically saves them, and 5 of them, or however many, survive. The best death scene was the very first one, though. It was, like, made me go, holy shit, what a wild, you know. Basically, it's a scene where they're in gymnastics, and this girl, the girl who survived the death from the first, like, the beginning, is doing parallel bars, or uneven bars, or whatever the hell they're called. I think they're called uneven bars. Anyways, there is a air conditioning vent above, and of course, it starts leaking, and water starts leaking, and part of the screw falls on this, I don't even know what it's called, but where they, I can't even think of the name, I don't know gymnastics, my cousin does, but anyways, the screw lands on this balance beam, I guess it is, with the point of sticking up, and throughout her whole routine, one of the kids that was on the bus, her boyfriend there, whatever, was sitting there watching, and he's like sitting there, she gets off, she survives, and this other girl hops on there, and she starts doing her act, her flipping and doing all this stuff. She flips and lands on that nail, or that screw. She falls off, lands in this powder that is sparked by water that has been leaking from the power cord that's ripped or whatever. And the girl doing her stunt, her doing a flip, and this powder gets in the face, and she flips off. And lands where she pretty much gets broken in half by her fall. It's just like, I was like, oh my god. I was just, the noise I made, I don't even know what it was. Like that. And I was just like, holy crap. And I was like, one of the best death scenes I've seen in all 5 of these movies. It's just, and one of the girls, and it's like, well, if you think about it, why hasn't it ever happened in, you know, other than that? I was like, she does have a great point. Why isn't gymnastics? Why don't you see more deaths in gymnastics? That's the question of the day. But anyways, you know, a lot of the deaths in it were pretty okay. They weren't bad, you know. Another death was a guy who was like, thought he was this playboy guy, and he goes to like a massage parlor, you know, and gets a Buddha dropped on his head. Another girl needs glasses, and she gets caught in there and lasers out her eye or something like that from laser surgery. She's going to go, and all of a sudden falls out the window. And this was sort of funny. Tony Todd's in it, who plays Candyman. He played the mortician in all the other movies. Or I think he's in all of them except for like one movie. I think it was a Final Destination one before this one. But he's awesome in it as always. The very end of the movie sort of made no sense to me because it was like they redid the. It was like, I don't know if this is like a prequel to the original, because they get on the airplane in the original, and this kid freaks out and has a premonition of things going down, so he wants to get off. And the two main characters that survive are on this airplane. They're going to Paris or something because this kid wants to become a chef. And, like, in the movie, it's the Tony Todd's character says, hey, if you kill one dude, you will get his life, and death will go past you or whatever. And all of a sudden, the plane blows up, and they're at this bar. The guy that survived it, one of the guys is a black dude, and he like kills his boss or one of his coworkers because he's harassing him throughout the whole movie. And he goes, and all of a sudden he goes up to him and goes, hey man, did you hear about Joe Blow, whatever the hell his name was? Yeah, it's weird, dude. They took an insurance policy, and the guy's like, oh, okay, yeah. So he goes, well, he was expected to die any day now. They found a large tumor in his head or in his body or whatever. And all of a sudden, one of the landing gears from the airplane lands in his bar, kills them all. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So anyway, other than that, you know, was it the best Final Destination? No. Are they going to make more? Probably. Why not? I just didn't understand the whole, like, was it a prequel or not? Because no one ever said in the movie, or not in the movie, but in the trailers or anything of that nature. So, overall, though, it was a good movie. You know, would I go out and buy it? Oh, we probably will, just because we like Final Destination movies. You know, I gave it a 6 out of 10. You know, it was a good movie, but we will probably buy because of it was Final Destination. And it's one of the, you know, I like the movies. They're pretty good. Story-wise, you know, some of them aren't. But a lot of them are, you know. None of them are really crappy-ass movies. They're all at least 6 to 7 stars, you know, if I was going to rate all of them. Anyways, go check out Final Destination 5. Let me know what you guys think. Check out any 3 of these movies I reviewed. Send me an email, thetorturerack@gmail.com, or, you know, go online, or the website, thetorturerack.com, check it out, let me know what you guys think. But see my comic review, the All-Star Western. Like I said, it's a new 52 series by DC. It is written by Justin Gray, Jimmy Palamonte, and art by Matari, or something like that. It follows the adventures of Jonah Hex, and the first issue is set, like, it's, you know, back in the 1800s or so, in pre-Gotham. Jonah Hex goes to Gotham, and there's these Gotham butchers running around, and the only thing they have is a ring that has a skull on it, you know. And he meets Arcanum Asylum's, the Dr. Arcanum, the guy who created the Arcanum Asylum in Batman movie or series and all this other stuff. And they make this, the Jonah Hex, of course, is this badass bounty hunter dude, Western guy, you know. And Arcanum is just this dorky ass, sort of like a Sherlock Holmes type of guy, but with medicine. And he's not really, you know, he's just this, pretty much a dumbass in the book, yeah. But they're looking for him, and towards the end of the book, they go to a buffet, or not a buffet, I don't know, it's a buffet, but a banquet hosted by the mayor of Gotham City at the time. They go there, and every person in that has a society of rings and a skull, so anyone can be the potential murderer, the Gotham Butcher. So, I haven't read the other 3 issues, I have them, but other than, you know, the art is pretty good. Of course, Jimmy Palamonte and Justin Gray do a great job writing a comic. They are phenomenal writers. You know, Justin Gray has done some phenomenal work in his time. You know, the Hawkman stuff, Uncle Sam and Freedom Fighters. You know, he just has done various things. He's written a lot of Jonah Hex stuff, so he knows Jonah Hex and the character of him. I'm going to watch a movie and review the movie actually next week on next week's show. It stars Josh Brolin, but I'm going to watch Jonah Hex just because I think the character's pretty cool. You know, but Jimmy Palmonte, you know, created the character Ash with, I can't think of his name now. Anyway, with Joe Quesada, I just thought about that. And, you know, he created that. Jimmy Palmonte, he's wrote so many damn books. You know, Power Girl, you know, Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters, The Pro, Mollith, you know, and there's just so many different characters and books that Jim Palmonte has wrote, and it's just a great character, great writer. They're both great writers. And like I said, the art's really good in the book. I don't know the guy's name that did the other one. I know the guy's name, the artist. I just can't remember the stuff he's drawn. But the art is very fluent, and it goes well with this character. Goes well with the time that they're setting it in. And from what I understand from the other books, you're going to see a little bit more of Bruce Wayne's relatives in it. So, anyways, check out All-Star Western number 1. You know, great book, I think. Like I said, I'm going to probably get the whole series. But, anyways, I guess that's probably all for the show today, but check out the website, thetorturerack.com. Shoot me an email, thetorturerack@gmail.com. Anyways, I'm out of here, and I'll see you next time. Later.